What is up, travelers? This is your host, Miles Biggs, and you're listening to another episode of Relish the Journey. Thank you for joining me. This week's guest is Jessica Bitsura. She is a singer-songwriter trying to make it in the big city of Nashville, Tennessee. We talk about why the journey to pursue music is trying but rewarding, how she got there, and what her plan is for the future to really make a splash on the music scene. So a very interesting conversation. The first I've talked to somebody doing this. So I loved it, and I think you will too. Enjoy. Jessica, thanks for joining me. I appreciate your time.
Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Thank you for accepting a strange man's invitation over direct message on Instagram.
Yeah, shady probably in other instances, but
sure.
You seem safe.
Thanks. Do you get a lot of weird direct messages?
Yeah. I do.
Yeah, that's funny.
Just ignore them. Delete them. Pretend they don't exist.
Sure. That's funny. Well, for people that have no idea who you are, give us your elevator pitch. Who you are, what you're about, and, you know, all those things.
Great. Well, Jessica Bitsura. I am a singer-songwriter from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. I'm currently in Nashville, Tennessee. Pursuing music, I just graduated with a degree in music business a month ago, so right now I'm in that period of my life where I'm trying to further my music career as a singer and a songwriter, and also balancing being a graduate and finding a job and stuff like that, so there's a lot of finding balance going on in my life
sure.
Right now.
Yeah, that's a lot going on. That's a big moment in your life.
Mm-hmm.
So, did you go to school in Nashville?
I did.
Where'd you go to school?
I went to Belmont University.
Okay. Yeah. A lot of singer-songwriters went there, huh?
Mm-hmm. Sure did.
So the college degree thing, I mean, you don't necessarily need that to be a singer-songwriter pursuing your passion there. What made you want to go the traditional route with that degree and not just get right into grinding it out on Broadway in Nashville?
Yeah, for a few reasons, I guess. The main one being that I'm very much an overachiever, and I kind of felt like it was my responsibility in a way to go to college. But in the same regards, I wanted to pursue something that would let me know more about what I was getting into. A lot of people enter the music business as an artist and they don't know what the heck they're doing. And a lot of bad things happen for them and they just go down all the wrong paths. So this way I could learn every facet of the music industry for myself and help that to kind of, I guess, inform myself as an artist. But also, you know, you never know if this is going to work out either. So if the chance it doesn't, then I have, you know, something to fall back on that's very closely related to what I'm currently doing or really want to do. But yeah, that's basically it, I guess.
Sure. No, that makes a lot of sense. Did you know people at Belmont that, you know, dropped out to chase it and then, you know, fell short? That kind of, you know, you saw it happen the wrong way and that made you really want to stick it out?
Well, I am a firm believer in commitment. So if I'm committed to something, I will see it through to the end with no question. But some of my closest friends, actually one of them, she dropped out of Belmont and pursues music full time. It's just doing so well at it. And in this instance, you learn that everyone's different. I personally function better having a whole bunch of things going on, you know, being in school, pursuing music, just wearing many hats at once. And some people, you know, function better not being in school and pursuing music full time. For me, I felt like that was the right choice, you know, personally.
Sure. So now that you're out of school and you don't have as many things going on, are you struggling with that? Like that loss of structure where you don't have class to go to every day?
Yeah. It's liberating in a way, because especially after my last semester, I was up before the sun and coming home when it was dark. It was so busy and stressful, and there wasn't any room for myself in that kind of schedule. So it's right now it's liberating to be able to do whatever I want, whenever I want, for the most part. In the same way, there is a little bit of a lack of structure, but I still am finding a way to create my own structure and something that is going to help, you know, create a good routine for myself to just function better.
Sure. So going backwards then, back in time, mm-hmm. before you decide I'm going to go to Nashville, were you like the shit in Pittsburgh then, you know, the singer known for that, and it wasn't a surprise? Or when you told people, hey, I'm going to go to Belmont, but my ultimate goal is I'm going to be a singer-songwriter in Nashville, did jaws hit the floor, you know?
I would say it's in a pretty even mix of both. I started performing when I was 14, and I started playing full shows when I was 16, like 2-3 hour shows by myself. So I guess I say that's when I really started doing it, quote, professionally, but that's at 16. But I was going to school, being totally normal. I've always been very quiet, so nobody really knew that I did music. I was so serious about it that I didn't feel the need to broadcast it. And it was just my thing, and I went about doing it. I would go to school and then play gigs during the week after school and practice every day. So, you know, people that were close to me always knew that I was very passionate about music, but the people that didn't know, their jaw definitely hit the ground, especially now, since I used to be pretty shy, but now I'm really not, and people just are very shocked that I am the way that I am now.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah, I just saw, I went down the Jessica Bitsura rabbit hole today in preparation for our interview, and you played a show at the AE stage back in Pittsburgh then, after the shooting that happened there not too long ago. So was that a big, like, people were like, holy crap, like, I went to high school with this girl. What is she doing playing the AE stage? Was that a moment of that for you?
Yeah, definitely. Funnily enough, my art teacher from high school was there taking photos. He was hired as a photographer, and I saw him there. And so it was kind of just a full circle moment. I was definitely very, very excited to play that stage. As a solo acoustic act, I don't really get the opportunity to play shows at venues like that. But yeah, people were like, what? That's crazy.
Yeah, that's cool. It's like the hometown hero kind of feeling, I guess, huh?
Yeah, I was definitely floating.
So you mentioned as a solo acoustic act, you don't get to play that many, you know, big stages. What's been the biggest stage you have played? I mean, I'm sure you're hustling in college playing smaller gigs, but what's been the biggest one?
It's hard to say. I mean, sometimes they don't really even give you a stage, technically. They just give you a spot to stand.
Sure.
But I would say that was the stage at E is probably the biggest setup. I'm not sure if it was the biggest crowd, because I don't know how many people were there. But I would say that's the most kind of legit stage setup I've played.
Sure. So then how does, you know, like you said, you're kind of quiet. You're not necessarily shy. You got more confidence, but you were quiet about it. So how do you, it just seems like an oxymoron, right? Like, you're the quiet girl that's going to get up on stage. And I've heard you sing. I was watching all your YouTube videos, and you could belt it out. I mean, you're covering Carrie Underwood and some big voices. It's like a Jekyll and Hyde thing, right? You got some the opposites in you. How do you channel that, I guess, is my ultimate question. You know, is it weird to reconcile that in yourself? Like, you've got two different sides to you?
No, not really, because they're both me. My biggest thing is being authentic to myself, so I don't feel like I have to really think about being somebody else when I'm performing. I really know that I don't have one of those big booming voices that, like, are super loud and just super powerful. I've kind of learned who I am as an artist and as a person, so I mean, like I said, quiet but not shy. I know who I am, and I'm not afraid to, you know, show it. And so it's always been very natural to just perform. It's a switch that goes on as far as confidence goes. It's kind of, I don't know, it's very interesting. I can't really describe it, but the feeling's different when I'm on stage, but it's still just me up there.
So what is that feeling on stage when you step out under the lights and people are just staring at you, ready for you to do your thing?
Sometimes it's weird. I've played a lot of restaurants and bars in my life, paying my dues, I always call it. And usually they put you in a corner and you're kind of almost fighting to play over the crowd of people talking. And then you know, that's juxtaposed with playing on stage and having people sitting there quietly waiting for you to perform. That's like such a stark contrast for me that sometimes still takes getting used to, but sometimes it makes you feel very, very vulnerable, especially singing original songs. It's because people are really tuned into what you're saying. And it's, like I said, it's just me. It's not like I have a band there. So it's just like really just bearing myself in front of a whole bunch of people.
Sure. Yeah. I can imagine that's a lot. I mean, that is definitely a lot. And then, and then they're quiet, right? And you finish and you're probably thinking, oh God, please clap. You know, please like it, right?
Yeah. Thankfully, they clap. I've never been booed or anything.
Oh, that's good. That's good.
Yeah.
And so how do you get those gigs in the corner, you know, while people are eating their steak and lobster, paying your dues? I mean, are you just knocking on doors saying, hi, I'd like to play here? Or do they seek you out?
It's always kind of a mixture of both. I do a lot of my booking in Nashville through social media and stuff, where there's a bunch of groups and pages that you can join, and people will just put a listing out and you'll say, hey, I'm interested in this, or I'll play all that stuff. But back home in Pittsburgh, it was restaurants, bars, wineries. It's just kind of happened through natural networking and connection, you know, being a part of the Pittsburgh community. Someone would say, hey, I play here every week, but they need someone on a different day. Would you like to play? And so that happened before, and I ended up playing at this one place every 2 weeks for like 2 years. So it just kind of, and then one thing leads to another. It just happens kind of naturally, usually.
Sure. So how does the competition compare in Nashville versus Pittsburgh? I mean, there's I'm sure a million people with a guitar and a dream in Nashville on those pages trying to get spots. I mean, what is that like to, you know, elbow your way in and say, hey, no, I'm playing, not you?
Yeah, it's definitely a lot different than in Pittsburgh. People think, I mean, it is competitive here, but it's not like everyone that's around you is your enemy. It's more like that person can be your friend and you guys can join forces and rise up together. Like, there's room for everyone if there's meant to be room for them. So, like, it's very easy to feel like it's a competition and worry about, do I measure up to this person or I'm better than that person? But I try not to get caught up in that, even though it's so hard. But it's not so much, you know, elbowing your way in there against somebody else. You really just have to focus on what you're doing and just don't worry about what other people are doing. That's how you get to where you want to go.
Sure. So what do you think is like your thing? Like, how would you describe your style versus someone else's style that sets you apart?
My musical style?
Yeah.
So I always say, as far as mashups of other artists that would create my sound, it's like if Avril Lavigne and Taylor Swift mixed together. So my style is kind of pop country, but singer-songwriter based, like Joni Mitchell or Amy Mann and stuff. And my style is different in that it's an expression of me. And like I said, I believe wholeheartedly in being authentic. And my sound is different from other people's because it's me, and you know, there's only one me. So I think if someone's authentic to themselves, then you know, we're all gonna have different sounds if we're really truly being authentic.
Sure. Yeah, it's, I mean, I could kind of guess you'd say that looking at your YouTube videos, because I scrolled all the way back to the first one six years ago, and it was Taylor Swift.
Mm-hmm.
And then you had some Avril in there too, and I do get that, like you said, that singer-songwriter vibe.
Mm-hmm.
So have you, like you talked about, you could team up with somebody and rise up together. Have you found another like singer-songwriter type person where you guys have done duets and thought about forming a group, or are you kind of set on doing it by yourself?
I would someday I really want a band to be behind me as far as sound goes, but I definitely want to charge forward as a solo artist. But most of my friends are also musicians, and if they're not musicians, they're in the music industry. There's only a few who aren't, and we will write together, go to each other's shows and stuff like that. So yeah, we support each other in that way.
Sure.
Even.
So what's your songwriting process like? You're sitting down in a room and there's a blank page in front of you. How do you, bring a song to life?
That's always everyone's most asked question. And it's like, I totally get it, because I forget that this isn't the most normal thing, that everyone can't just do this. And so I would be curious if I were on your end as well. But it's always different. And that's something that's very terrifying, but also very fun and interesting. So sometimes, typically I start strumming my guitar, which is the main instrument that I play, and I'll just land on something that feels right and sparks inspiration in a way. And then the words, like the melody and the lyrics, will be hand in hand, and then it just kind of builds together. And but sometimes I might have a song idea. Like, I get song ideas in the middle of the night, and then I'll have to like get up and write them down so I don't forget them the next day, and then I can write a song from that. Or even crazy things have happened before. Like at home when I was in high school, the phone rang and I got inspired to write a melody based off the tone of our phone. It's just, it's all over the place. It's sometimes it's really unpredictable, and sometimes the inspiration's not even there and you have to create it yourself. There's no set process at all.
Sure. And it sounds like it can just strike at any time.
Yeah. Even when you're not prepared.
Right. So for someone that you just said like earlier that you love structure, that's got to be a little bit difficult because it's unstructured.
Yeah. Especially when you hit a point where you're kind of in a dry spell, which I've actually been experiencing that a bit over the past few months, past year. But so it's kind of, it makes you feel like, oh, is it ever going to come back? And with the lack of structure that you can never, of course it's going to, but, it scares you a little bit.
Sure. Yeah, I imagine so. If you're like on fire, and then you feel like you have nothing to say, that's got to be a weird feeling.
Mm-hmm, yeah, definitely.
So then how do you find it again? You just go out and it's new experiences, new inspiration?
Yeah, I mean, I'll definitely, as a person, I'll probably wallow about it for a little bit and be like, hey, man, stop it. But I try to combat that by living my life and not worrying about it. Because I could sit there all day and be like, oh, I'm writing. But after a while, if I just go and live my life, gain new experiences, new feelings, and just kind of let my brain breathe and let the subconscious work, and then it comes back in due time.
Sure. So talking about new experiences then, you mentioned you're trying to find a job, and that's going to be a new experience.
Yeah.
What's your thought there? Are you going to try to go industry? Are you going to be, the stereotypical bartender / waiter who also writes songs? What are you going after?
Well, right now I am the stereotypical server who writes songs. So I recently got a serving job because my rent isn't going to pay itself.
Very true.
But meanwhile, I'm looking for an industry job at the same time. I've held 4 music industry internships during my time at school. So I've really tried a whole bunch of different areas of the industry. So yeah, I would definitely want to get in the industry. So it's because it's so close to music, obviously. And I went to school for it. So I would definitely like to. It's just a matter of which area it would be.
Sure. So for people that don't know the music business, what are those areas?
There's a lot of them. For instance, there's radio. I did an internship in radio. There's your record labels. Within your record labels, there's a bunch of different things that you can do there. You can market. You can be in marketing. There's publishing. There's sync, which is movies and television and music. You think. There's so much. There's publishing, I mean, there's a creative side of publishing as well, where you can go find songs and pitch them to people. There's an administrative side of publishing where you can create like register licenses and stuff like that. You can work in royalties, in performance royalties. And then there's, goodness me, I'm just realizing how many, like, there's a lot of players involved. I mean, there's people on tour, there's tour managers, there's live sound people, there's a crew who sets up stages. I mean, the list goes on and on. It truly does.
Yeah, that's a long list. So, I mean, I don't know everything about, or really anything, I guess, about the music industry, but from a little I do know, which is following stuff, I know a lot of singer-songwriters, you know, before they would get their quote-unquote record deal or artist deal or developmental deal, it's the publishing deal, right? It's the first one. You get paid to write songs. So is that something that you're pursuing to try to get your own pub deal? And
yes, for me, ideally, that would be the next move to advance my career. And there's also different types of publishing deals. The one you're thinking of is usually the most common, I would say, an exclusive publishing deal. So they pay you to write songs, basically.
Right.
And then there's also single song publishing contracts, where they only have the rights to one song. So it's not you. You don't keep getting paid for it. But I would definitely like an exclusive songwriter's deal.
Yeah. So how do you get that? I mean, what's the approach? Are you just knocking on doors and saying, hello, I'd like to play my music for you? You know, it's like an audition over and over again.
Yeah, it's in a way like that. The hardest thing is to get someone to listen to your music, to get just a set of ears on your music. Some people are very happy to listen. Some people are happy to listen but won't do anything. And there's not really a set recipe to any aspect of this career. And so there's no set recipe to getting a publishing deal either. The main thing is networking and kind of just meeting the right people and meeting people who will believe in you and what you're doing.
Sure. So how has social media helped you get people to listen? I mean, you're on Instagram, that's where I found you, and then YouTube, and I'm sure a lot of other places. Mm-hmm. Has that helped open doors for you?
Certainly. Social media is very difficult in a lot of ways, but it's also very helpful in a lot of ways. It's difficult in the fact that there's millions of people doing the same thing that you're doing, so it's a very saturated market. But it's, at the same time, you're open up to the world, literally. And with a stroke of luck, you can reach a lot of people. For instance, I don't know if you heard this song I wrote in tribute to those affected by that shooting that happened in Pittsburgh. I hadn't expected this to happen at all, but the song I wrote had reached over 100,000 people. Wow. I mean, just original views. And then it was on news stations after that. And it's on a few radio stations as well now. And so that's kind of a good example of how it's like a snowball effect. I mean, I didn't expect that to happen, but social media helped get that song to a lot of people, and a lot of people who had the power to get it to even more people. And that even got me, like, the song that I got to perform it at the Country Music Hall of Fame in Nashville, oddly enough. And, you know, it definitely did open a lot of doors for me. And apart from that, social media helps me meet other people and be more aware of the people. So, like, I'll go and I just follow anybody I see in the industry or who plays around town. I may not know them, but if I see them pop on my feed, like, I can kind of see what they're going, you know, what they're up to. And then maybe I'll see them on the show, and then I'll, like, oh, I follow that person on Instagram. So now I know who they are, what they sound like. So it kind of helps keep you connected.
Sure. So do you read the comments people write or not?
On my page?
Yeah, because I know people are just terrible online sometimes.
Now, I read every single comment I ever receive. And I have not gotten any, I guess, hate comments, which surprises me.
Yeah, that's awesome.
But I have gotten, one thing that I get a whole lot is unwanted advice. It's a huge pet peeve of mine. If, you know, someone will comment, oh, very good, but you did this and this wrong, and you did, you should do this. That stuff drives me crazy. So it's not hate necessarily, but it's like, okay, who asked though?
Yeah, right. That's funny. So what kind of stuff do people just offer up like that? Like, are they like commenting on tone or vibrato in your voice or like technical things?
Or your timing was off. And anytime someone says stuff like this, also is I've been doing this for a very long time, and I know if I make a mistake. I mean, I'm human, so there's bound to be some. And so it's like the fact that they say that as though I'm not aware, like, oh. But yeah, it's usually just technical stuff or opinion. I would feel it's more opinion.
Sure. So when you say, you know, when you make a mistake, so are you doing those YouTube videos like one take and you're putting it up no matter what it is? Or do you do it a few times and then pick the best take?
Definitely a few times and then pick the best take. I used to do, well, I go through these phases where I do one every week and then I get burnout. I don't know what it is. I don't really like to play cover songs very much because I just really feel so surely that I'm an artist, and so I just want to play my songs. So I get just frustrated with the process of recording the actual video itself, because I record the audio and the video separately, and then I have to edit them together later. And then for some reason I just like screw up a lot. And then not so much with my recent videos, but my older videos, I would just post them even if I knew they weren't my best work, just because I was so frustrated.
Sure. You're like, I'm done with this. That's going out there.
Exactly.
That's funny. Yeah, I get that must be hard, but the cover is like, it's such a necessity though, because people want to hear songs they know. And then
exactly
for like SEO, search engine optimization, they're going to listen to the real, you know, Strawberry Wine, and then you're going to pop up, you know, in other videos, check out this version, you know, and that's how people can find you. Yeah. Which that's one of the ones I listened to. You know, I like that a lot, actually. You did a really good job. Oh,
thank you.
I love that song. It takes me back to the good old 90s.
Yeah, I was born in the later part of the 90s, but I still love that song.
Sure, yeah, don't make me feel old now. Don't make me feel old. I was born in 1990 on the dot, so I'm still...
Oh, so is my sister.
Not
so
that old yet.
But you're not old at all.
Yeah, I'm still sub 30. I still got some time. So you mentioned unwanted advice, but what's been a really good piece of advice someone's given you that you, you know, actually asked for or took to heart, you know?
I guess most of all, when people have told me or like told me in a group to just be yourself, I've personally never had a problem doing so. I don't really care what other people think of me or if I don't fit in with the group or the crowd or if I'm not the norm. But it was something that was really kind of, it resonated with me, I think, is why it's the most important advice I've gotten. And, you know, I can't really pinpoint it to a particular person because a lot of people have said it over time.
Sure.
But I think it's the most important advice I've gotten, because sometimes you doubt yourself, or your music style changes, or there's, you know, a dry spell or something like that, and you just kind of keep coming back to just be yourself, and that's what's gonna resonate with people as well. And it's the point of this whole thing that I'm doing, so it kind of helps keep me on track.
Yeah. So you say you don't really care what people think, but every time you read about artists or people that are in the creative space, it's, you know, everybody's searching for something, right? They're searching for that approval or that feeling of love when you're on the stage, or something to fill some sort of void, and that's why they create. Do you think that's the case for you? Like, deep down, you do care a little bit what people think about for some reason?
Oh, well, yeah, I do care. It's just, I guess, it's kind of hard to, like, say. I don't worry about it, though. I mean, I care. Sure. I make sure that I'm at least somewhat presentable when I'm out somewhere, or like if I'm me, the artist, I have to look good on YouTube. I have to wear makeup when you know, I have to make sure I speak well, that I'm nice to people, even though, you know, I have to try to be nice to people, you know, yeah. Sounds really hard. But, I mean, I have to watch what I say, you know, you have to think about those things being appropriate, but you have to think in a way, you make sure it aligns with your brand. So in that matter, I do care. I want to make sure that what people think of me is just the truth. And anytime someone thinks something poorly of me, that's just not the truth. That's probably the worst feeling. So in that matter, I do care, but otherwise, it's not like I'm trying to create something that isn't there,
right?
Kind of way.
Well, I think the way you put it makes a lot of sense. Like, everybody cares what people think, but if you worry about it or not is really the difference. Like, you don't let it ruin your day.
Mm-hmm.
You mentioned something that I think is a really interesting point about your brand. So, is that something they talked about in school, or is that something? Really? Okay, that's cool. Because when I was in college, I always thought, well, not always, looking back now, I thought, and part of my education, just a general business education, not music education, music business, you know, they didn't touch on that enough. And no matter what you're doing these days, like, you are your own brand, whether you work for a company or you work for yourself, like you said, from the way you dress, the way you talk, the way people think of you, it's all you as a brand. So what kind of like training or classes did they have that centered around that? Because I think that's an interesting topic that's not really talked about enough.
Yeah, I think it's also something that's become more prevalent in the social media age and like the digital age. But certain classes catered towards that are marketing of recorded music and personal relations or just anything. We were taught that an artist is a brand. I've actually heard, like, being in an industry has kind of opened my eyes to the reality of the fact that it is a business. You know, people tend to not take the music industry seriously. Like, oh, it's just they're just a singer, you know, get a real job. But truly, an artist is a product. And I've heard someone say with their mouth in a industry setting, referring to someone's music as product. Like, we have to move the product.
Oh, wow. That's interesting.
And I was actually shocked, and it just kind of like opened my eyes. So, I mean, as an artist, everything has to align with your brand and with anything, you know, like everyone uses Taylor Swift as an example. I mean, her name, I'm pretty sure, is literally trademarked.
I'm sure it is. Yeah.
So she's the largest brand as a human right now, I'm pretty sure. But yeah, anything, if you treat an artist like a brand, it kind of helps paint a clear picture in the consumer's mind of who they are.
Right. So what is your brand?
That's a very good question. If I had to describe my brand, I think I've done an okay job at branding myself. Like, it's kind of hard to describe yourself. I know it's just me in a way. I mean, it is me, but my music is kind of relaxing. It's like acoustic. And then so my photos are in a flower field with an acoustic guitar, and it's golden hour. And it's kind of, I want to go for a timeless kind of thing. But yeah, all I can say is my brand is just me. And like I said before, if I just think about just be yourself, be authentic, every aspect of my brand just spirals back to that.
Sure. Makes sense. So what's your, like, with this whole journey on music, right?
Mm-hmm.
What do you think's the timeline? Like, I read a lot. I'm a country music fan. So, you know, I listen to, you know, Bobby Bones in the Morning and the Bobbycast and, you know, the Whiskey Riff guys out in Chicago and all sorts of different stuff just because I like it. And you hear them talk in these different mediums about, it's like, basically it's like a 10-year town, right? It takes 10 years in Nashville to break through. So that's a long time. I mean, you just graduated college, so you're early 20s. 10 years, you're in your 30s. I mean, what's the 10-year plan, I guess, is my long way of asking this for you. I mean, how do you think you're going to tackle those 10 years?
Please, I really hope to God it, but it's really, you know, there's no saying, but I hope, like I said, the first step for me, I mean, one of the next steps, I hope to establish a relationship with a publishing company. I mean, 10 years from now, I hope I'm either doing exactly what I set out to do when I came here, being an artist writer and being able to do that full time. Gosh, 10 years is so long. Gosh.
It really is.
And then sometimes life kind of changes your career plans as well. But I think in 10 years, I'll be doing whatever I'm supposed to be doing. And my gut tells me it's this. So I think I can do it. 10 years max. That's really pushing it for me. Feels like it.
Well, you did say at the beginning of this that when you make a commitment, you see it through. So
yeah,
you're on the record now. But I think part of the reason why it's a 10-year town is there are so many people that move to Nashville with a guitar and a dream, and they're on, you know, the corner of Broadway and knocking on the door of Tootsie's trying to get in with everybody else, you know. But It's that it just comes down to persistency and consistency, I think. Whether you're trying to make it in Nashville or do what I'm doing with podcasts, you know, most podcasts never make it past 7 episodes, believe it or not. People just start it and then they stop. So just the nature of me being in the 50s now, like I'm already got a leg up against people just because I'm just not stopping. You just keep going. Yeah. So I think the people that it takes 10 years, it's just you put your time in. I mean, and then other people drop off and all of a sudden you're one of the few people left, you know, as weird as that sounds. And a lot of it too, a really good book, if you haven't read it, it's called Outliers.
Oh yeah, I've read it.
Yeah. So it's like getting your 10,000 hours, you know, like you might want to do something, you have the dream, but you got to put that time in to really get really good at it, playing those bars and restaurants in the corner, you know, playing over people until you get the bigger stages and then you're ready for it. So
exactly.
I think that's all. Yeah. It all kind of plays in. It's talent for sure. And the brand, but a lot of it's just work ethic. It's just putting your head down and doing it and never stopping. And then it pays off in the end.
Yep. 100%. You hit the nail on the head. That's exactly it. Really.
So we mentioned before about advice you were given. If you had to give advice to, you know, whatever, I'll let you pick the demographic. You know, it could be just people in their 20s trying to figure out life, fellow singer-songwriters moving to Nashville, somebody who's 12, you know, who just picked up a guitar and wants to learn. You know, what would be a piece of advice you'd bestow upon, you know, that general topic?
Well, I would pass on the advice that I've been given. Be yourself. Find something that you're good at and work hard at it. Honestly, I feel like a lot of people, especially in creative paths like this, they don't really know what they're getting into. So it's important to learn about what you're getting into so that you're more likely to see it through and you're not like caught off guard. So learn every aspect of what you want to do and just, you know, back to the work ethic, be willing to put in the work because it's not easy. Don't expect things to be handed to you, of course. And yeah, just, you know, be yourself in the meantime. And I think, I don't know if it's Dolly Parton, but she says like find out who you are and be that on purpose or something. I don't remember the quote, but
I like that. Yeah. I don't know it either, but it sounds good. we'll say it was Dolly. Thanks, Dolly.
Paraphrasing. Of course.
Yeah. No, that's so true. And so many people do the opposite, right? They accidentally be somebody else, who they think they're supposed to be and not themselves. And they wake up later and realize it and it's too late.
Yeah. And people can see right through that too. I mean, there's so many people, like there's so many girls with guitars down here and a lot of them sound the same. Some people might think that I do, but at least, you know, you can see through an authenticity in a second.
Sure. So another thing I wanted to ask you about, I was looking at your Instagram account and you had these audition bloopers. So are you also trying to get into acting too?
Yes. In September, I joined a class here in Nashville upon recommendation by one of my friends who is actually also a musician. And I guess last year, just kind of felt called to different creative paths outside of music. And one of them was acting, and every now and then I get, like, my intuition's very strong, is what I'll say, and I get a nudge. Something tells me that I need to do something. So one of those things was acting, and so I kind of, I also wanted to do it to just become better as a person. And so I just kind of like took a leap of faith and started acting a little bit.
And how's that going?
You know, I'm getting better. That's all I can say. I've not really, like, the audition bloopers were for just a film here in town, which I don't think I got anything, which I don't expect to at all yet, because I'm still learning. And that's kind of, I'm so new at it that this is one thing where I'm okay with loving the learning process. I think that's a really important thing about any creative path or any, just even like learning a new skill, is to love where you're at.
Sure.
And yeah.
And I imagine the acting classes have to help with performing in general, you know, your stage presence and being comfortable and, you know, just expanding that brand you were talking about.
Yeah, it definitely helps me. I think it's helped me be more confident in my real life. And it's interesting how performing as an actor feels different than performing as a singer-songwriter. It's a different hat, and it's a lot of fun, and I think it'll pay off more than I even think so right now.
Sure. Well, it's all part of those 10,000 hours, right? It's just one day it's all going to converge, you know, and it'll make sense.
Yeah, definitely.
So I mentioned Broadway a few times. That's like the most iconic street in Nashville with all the bars and music all the time.
Yeah.
Have you gotten in any of those places yet? Have you tried? Is that a goal of yours, or do you want to not kind of go into that commercial side of it?
So I've performed a few songs. A family friend of mine who is in a band who performed at this place called Whippy's. It's across the street from Tootsie's. And they would play there every Saturday, maybe. And so I would hop up on stage and do like a song with them whenever they were doing that. But it's definitely just personally not a goal of mine to play down there, because you have to play cover songs only usually. And you play for tips. And it's just, to me, it would feel like straying off my path. And it would be taking away from what I'm trying to build. So it just doesn't align with what I'm trying to do. So I just don't have interest in that.
Yeah, no, I mean, those people are hustling for sure.
Oh, yeah. Oh, it's the hours are terrible. They're down there so long. Kudos to them, but.
Yeah, well, I think when I was there last time, I think it was Honky Tonk Central. I mean, that woman with the violin probably plays Devil Went Down to Georgia like 20 times in a day up on the bar. Like, it's at a certain point, it just has to feel like, I guess you could be acting at a certain point to bring it all forward, you know, like you just have to channel it and say you're a character now, you know?
Yeah, it's a valid point.
Interesting. Well, it makes sense. I'm not surprised to hear you say that after what we've been talking about.
Yeah.
So this whole journey you've been on so far, you know, from Pittsburgh to Nashville, college to figuring it out now as a graduate and everything with music. How would you describe your journey in three words?
I think I would describe it as trying, but rewarding.
Cool. I like that. So expand on that a little bit.
Yeah. my dad always says this to me sometimes when, you know, I go through a lot of trials in my life for some reason. And this is hard. This is the hardest thing I've ever done, this music thing. And I honestly wouldn't wish this dream upon anybody, because people don't know this. You wouldn't expect them to know, but it's kind of like this burden to carry in a way. Because you can see what you want, but it's like, how do I get it? And it just kind of, it's a very difficult space to be in, but in the same regards, to be optimistic and grateful about it. You think I get to live in Nashville, and I get to play music, and I was given this gift of music, and my family and my friends are supporting me every step of the way. And it's just like, there's a passion there, and seeing the way that my music affects people is rewarding. And so even though this journey brings me to my lowest lows, it also brings me to my highest highs.
Sure. Yeah. So, I mean, what's been that lowest low? What's been the low point in the whole music search, music dream?
I guess every now and then it's probably the self-doubt, because you can work so hard and get nothing, and then it makes you think, well, what's the point? And it's kind of like this battle you have to go at every day. So it's kind of hard to, explain in a way.
I get it. I mean, I think everybody has that. I mean, we all have that negative self-talk, whether you're chasing music or sitting at a desk from 9 to 5, you know, saying, what the hell did I go to college to do this for? You know,
I think
that's part of the human condition. And that's something everybody can relate to. And it just takes that choice. You know, you got to just snap yourself out of it sometimes. But
Definitely.
We're all actors at a certain standpoint, right? I mean, everybody's got their own stuff going on. We don't necessarily just air it out. So people get really good at wearing masks and putting a different self forward. I mean, just look at Instagram, right? You think everybody's really that happy all the time? I don't think so.
Yeah, for sure.
So before we wrap up here, is there anything else that you want to, you know, impart on the world? You want to just make sure when they think Jessica Bitsura, they think of this?
I don't know. I just hope they think of honesty. And that's it.
Well, that's just honesty. That's it. No big deal. Just a really big value that not a lot of people, you know, actually live up to. But that's cool. No, it goes back to, you know, being authentic and being you. So makes sense to me.
I'm glad it does.
So where can people find your stuff? I mean, your music, I mean, any singles out, download it so you get some money, you know, show up to shows so you get some money, pay those bills. Where can they find you?
I do have some music on Spotify, on iTunes and Amazon, and pretty much anywhere you can buy or stream music, you can buy or stream my music. And then I'm on YouTube. I'm doing Facebook live concerts on my Facebook page, just Jessica Bitsura, and on any other social media platform, just Jessica Bitsura. You can search my name, you'll find me, because my last name's basically made up, so there's only one of me. You can find me.
So is it actually make it up, or like you made up that last name, or it's your real last name?
It's my real last name, but it's an Americanized name, so it's kind of unique.
Gotcha. Cool. I wasn't sure if you were just fooling me the whole time. No. Getting really good at those acting classes.
Yeah. That's really your name.
Well, that's cool. I'll make sure we link up to all that fun stuff when we post this and send everybody your way.
Perfect.
And thank you again for your time. I mean, you're busy grinding it out, so I appreciate you taking about an hour here to chat, and I look forward to sharing your story.
Thanks. I appreciate you wanting to do this with me. I appreciate it so much. Thank you.
Right, that's a wrap for this episode of Relish the Journey. Be sure to follow Jessica on all the social media channels. Her name is Jessica Bitsura. That last name is spelled B-I-T-S-U-R-A. Be sure to not just stream her music, but download it. If you're in Nashville, buy a ticket to a show. Artists need to make rent, people. Streaming doesn't really pay them much, so go buy something. You can find us at rtjmedia.com and anywhere you listen to podcasts. Be sure to like and subscribe so we move up those charts. Get to do some cool stuff. And as always, go out and make the world a better place. Cheers.